Down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining.
Welcome to Showing Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. We are in southeast Missouri, my home part of the state. Mississippi County, the furthest eastern part of the state of Missouri, is here in Mississippi County. We are joined by the presiding commissioner, James Caan. That's just like the actor, right? Just spelled a little different.
Close.
And we're at Tom Graham with the Mississippi County Historical Society. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Thank you.
And we're here in Charleston at absolutely a beautiful courthouse. And you got something to be proud of. We'll talk about the history of the building. But it's one of the newer courthouses, and it's probably the most beautiful courthouse that's been built in Missouri in the last 40 or 50 years. You guys have something to be proud of here.
Thank you. Yeah, my predecessors, they struggled with the, after the original courthouse burned, mm-hmm. as to whether to refurbish it or to take it down and build new. And this was their decision, and it's ended up being the right decision.
Well, it is something to be real proud of. It is a beautiful building here in Charleston. Mississippi County was formed February 14th, 1845, as the 82nd county, named for the river, obviously. Now, it was once known where we're at now as Tyrepi Bottom. Now, I said that wrong. I'm a hillbilly. How do Flatland people say that?
Tywopity.
All right. I thought about trying to hyphenate it out, but I don't think my hill tongue could have made that happen. It's bordered by the Mississippi River, obviously the Little River, and several others. It's said in 1540, Hernando de Soto came through parts of this part of the state. May not have made it here, but close. And they were Osage Indians here. Is that the only Indians that were around here?
No, because Lewis and Clark. Lewis, of course, kept a daily diary. Mm-hmm. And they came down the Ohio in 1803, picking up different soldiers and everything encamped in Illinois across the Mississippi. And Jefferson wrote a letter to him and said, whatever you do, do not cross the Mississippi, because the deal had not gone through at this time. Mm-hmm. This was 1803 in November. And the deal, of course, didn't go through until 1804, the next year in St. Louis. But they didn't pay attention. At this point, it's from this point on, everything was going upstream, and they saw how swift the river was, and they knew they were going to need more men, more supplies, and that kind of stuff. But one day they got in there, dug out canoes, burros, crossed over, and the people they met were Shawnee and Delaware mm-hmm. Indians, and so. And they were nomads, from what I read about them.
Now, there's a few different stories about the first folks that settled here. It said Nicholas Savage was actually, there's some paperwork shows he was granted a plot here around 1800 on the Missouri side of the river.
Wouldn't have been by the Americans, but was a person from Europe that was granted a Spanish plot, I guess it was at the time. About 3 miles south of the mouth of the Ohio, Andrew Ramsey had a plot that he had in 1776. He was granted from the Spanish government near Belmont, right on the river. Then it kind of goes into the more modern history, but it says in 1805, Abraham Bird founded Bird's Point. Then they had different towns in and around, and Charleston came into being. When it says here, back in 1830, a guy named Thankford Randall sold Joseph Moore 22 and a half acres to plot where we are now. Now, what's the story about how Charleston got here in Charleston?
Well, you're sitting in, this is generally the original area right in here, this main street, mm-hmm. and up by the library. Mm-hmm. That's really the original plat that, what was his name, Randall?
Yep.
Thankful Randall.
Thankful Randall sold to Joseph Moore, and he plotted the ground.
Really?
Yeah. She was a landowner. Thankful Randall was a woman. And she sold, I guess, some of her land mm-hmm. to plat out the city.
Well, it says it finished the plot in 1837. The first county court after Mississippi County became a county in 1845. It's interesting. You go through Missouri history, And in the, I don't think it's a coincidence that in the 10 or 15 years leading up to the Civil War, there was all kinds of counties formed. A bunch of counties split. Now, in northern Missouri, right around the Iowa border, like Worth County became a county and different ones because they won. Back then, you had one vote apiece in the legislature. Every county had one vote. And so in southern Missouri, they had a lot of counties split because they knew there's going to be a slavery vote. And so they thought there would be in different parts of the state, the more votes they had in the legislature, the better. So you see some counties, like Mississippi County shouldn't be part of Scott County, you know, and it's the geographic would make it too big to make any sense. But you notice that those decisions began being made right around this time. Folks started to say, well, we're going to have a vote on this. We want to have our folks have the most votes possible. And after the war, they slowed that down. It was a little harder to become a county. But you'll notice everybody kind of squared off with their own counties that came in. But it says here, on April 21st, 1845, the county court consisted of William Sayers, Absalom, which is a popular name in Missouri back at this time. Absalom L. Murray and James Overton were the first three commissioners that came in. The first judge was named Judge John Cook. Now, tell me about the county commission today.
Well, there's three county commissioners. There's a presiding commissioner who represents the entire county.
Now, when you're a commissioner, and what do you do?
Money. We manage the money. We don't other than road and bridge, we don't hire and fire. We're over the budgetary aspects of.
But when you ain't doing that part, most folks say commissioner's a part time job. Unless you've been one, then you know it's pretty much full time job. What do you do when you're not serving here in the county court?
I'm a contractor. I'm a general contractor and have been for close to 40 years.
Is that right? Well, what all you build?
Build new house, mainly residential, remodeling or build new.
Tell me about your associate commissioners. Who are they and what do they do?
Mitch Pullen is a district commissioner, the first district, and that's primarily the north and east part of the county. And Daryl Jones is the second district commissioner, and that's primarily the far west and south.
That'd be like East Prairie and things.
East Prairie, yeah. Bertrand.
Yeah.
Would be the second.
And Charleston would be up in the first.
Charleston, Wyatt, yeah. would be the first district. And basically, it's road and bridge as far as our management of transportation. There's 360 miles of roads in the county that we have to maintain. Money's always tight. You're always balancing, you know, what do you need? What can you pay for? Drainage is always an issue that we're responsible for. Coordinating with the cities. Mm-hmm. You know, the cities are our population centers. Even the smaller ones, we're concerned about, you know, getting the water in, getting the water out, transportation through, in
sure.
and out of the towns.
So it's kind of a partnership with the various different cities as well.
As time goes by, it says here in 1850, there was an appropriation made to build a jail. And 2 years later, they had an appropriation to build a courthouse. It goes through and it says in 1901, they built the courthouse. And everybody remarked on how beautiful it was. It was an architectural thing that other counties and municipalities would come and look at drawings of it. Now, there was a fire, and it was an arson, right, in 97. How did the courthouse come to burn, and what was the circumstances surrounding it?
Well, I don't know that it was necessarily proven that it was
yeah.
alleged to be arson. I don't know that there was ever a definitive reason for the fire.
Now, when folks are just sitting around talking hogs, dogs, and logs, as we'd say up in the hills, what's the story they say how the courthouse burned and who may have burned it and what do folks say?
There's rumors that first, this person had a reason to burn to burn the courthouse. Yes, there's always an unnamed person that had good reason to burn records. But as far as it being legitimate, there's no way to
nobody
to,
ever.
No,
yeah.
no. It, just that small town rumor.
Anybody leave town a year later, or quick, or in the middle of night, or
not some of the suspects. I think they stay.
Well, it is a beautiful courthouse, and you'd referenced before it was a tough decision because it was, I guess, possible to renovate the place, but you Instead, it looks like what you've done is built a new courthouse that kind of maintains some of that beauty and integrity of the old one.
It's actually the second fire that that building had, because back in the 30s,
I think so,
there was a major fire under the roof that damaged a significant amount of roof. And so even the one that burned, that most of the people my age or something only recognize, you know, there was, the entire roof was pretty much gone. I mean, the dome, each corner of that particular building had a small dome on it. So all that was replaced. They didn't demolish the building back then. They kept the walls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The top of it was, had to be replaced.
Well, notice the top of this, the cupola, whatever you call the top there, looks very similar to the photographs of the old one, right?
Yeah, they tried to put that back.
About the 97 fire, a big part of a county function is record keeping.
Mm-hmm.
And through some efforts of some very diligent ladies, they were able to capture the records.
Wow.
And process them and reclaim them. Not all of the records,
sure,
but a good portion of the records that the county needs to have a history were reclaimed.
That's interesting. That's a you don't really think about all the things that go into going to courthouse.
Oh.
But boy, that records, I mean, that's, today I guess it's in some cloud somewhere, but that wasn't real life back then.
Sure.
You know, it says an interesting thing, kind of segue into to what we're going to talk about after the break. But in 1864, the first real debt the county incurred was $12,500 to pay volunteer soldiers, keep them up. Now, the thought was they got tired of both the Union and Confederate people fighting, and they were going to have their own soldiers to keep everybody out of Mississippi County. I don't know how well that worked, but that was the thought then, and that was the first time the county really went into major debt, was to kind of have their own guard to keep everybody from fighting here out of the county. It's a very Southeast Missouri way to look at the world,
very,
I think.
Very independent.
Yes, very. That reminded me of folks back home. It'd be, you can fight all you want, just don't do it here. We're going to fight whoever comes. But I thought that was an interesting part of Mississippi County history. Always want to thank our sponsors before we take a break. The Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association of Counties, and the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops. Let us come to places like Charleston here and talk about what we'll call real Missouri and the history of the state one county at a time. We're here in Mississippi County. We'll be right back after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for home sweet home. We're for condos, tutors, single wides, and studios. We're for ranches, houseboats, two stories or 20. Red cedar, bluebirds, white squirrels, black walnuts, whatever's out your back door, we're for that. We're for watching the sun rise over the Mississippi and set over the Missouri. We're for kicking off your heels in a high rise or hanging up your hat in the boot heel. And if you have a home in Missouri, we have a policy for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to Showing Missouri, the history of Missouri one county at a time. I always like to start off thanking our sponsors, Missouri Farm Bureau. If you're not a member of Missouri Farm Bureau, I guess, why not? It's the one group at the Capitol that actually goes and watches out for the interests of rural Missouri. The urban folks have all kinds of people looking out for them. Farm Bureau looks out for the rest of us. Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops and the Missouri Association of Counties let us be here talking about the history of Missouri one county at a time. This week we're here in Mississippi County in the beautiful courthouse here in Charleston, downtown. We're with Mr. Graham from the Mississippi County Historical Society. Thank you for sticking with us.
Okay.
And Commissioner James Kahn. Appreciate your time, sir. Appreciate the hospitality. It's a beautiful building.
You're quite welcome.
Talk about the Civil War here. Now, it's interesting. You go to different parts of the state, and you ask them, well, was this a Union County or a Confederate County? Well, the history, Jay Nixon one time, when we had him on the show once, he said, well, history has a way of letting folks claim that they were on the winning side. However, the truth of the matter came out. What would you say Mississippi County was back during the war?
My opinion is that it was pro-Southern.
Yeah.
You know, from what I read and that kind of thing. There was a family in town. We have a letter at the Historical Society who was German immigrants. The last name was Diehl, part of the man I explained to you earlier that was Missouri treasurer when the Capitol building burned, who moved here and sided with the South, and he was called Colonel Diehl. And his father up in Pennsylvania wrote him a long letter reprimanding him. He ought to be ashamed of himself for doing that.
You look at Missouri history, I mean, there was a big pocket of Little Dixie in the central part of the state. The southern part of the state was Confederate, or at least started off the war Confederate. Then you had western Missouri, where they issued a General Order 11 to burn and kill everyone. You had, but there were different parts. A lot of folks just didn't want a war. They didn't want anybody telling them what to do. And they kind of, and then some folks were defending slavery. And Missouri has a real mix. You know, today you want to make things simple. If you were Confederate, you were pro-slavery. And that really wasn't the case in Missouri. Missouri had a very interesting history of the Civil War. However, if you look at the places that were pro-Union, they were mostly German immigrants. You look down the eastern part of the Missouri River, St. Louis, it was the almost exclusively German immigrants were very pro-Union. That's kind of interesting that a person, it's not surprising his dad writing that letter, but it's interesting that a German, you didn't see many Germans if you look back through the list of the Confederate registers in Missouri.
No, but he was, and he was later elected right after the war to Missouri Senate, and was in politics and large landowner. And
sure.
That, you know. But when you might,
I agree with Tom. Is the sentiment would have been Southern. It's kind of ironic there at that time there were no large quote plantations in the boot heel. The drainage had not occurred. We were still swamp related in the 60s, 1860s. The large continuous plantations down in Mississippi and Louisiana may have been, but up here we really didn't have that. And you would not have had it over in Springfield either. It probably was more of a stubborn states' rights issue with a lot of those people.
Yeah.
They would not have owned. Most of these people around here would not have owned any amount of slaves to be
well in Southwest Missouri. You're talking about cattle farms and dairy farms where there was no reason that slavery wasn't a help.
I said you had the little river drainage had not occurred in Scott County and the drainage in the southern part of this county this was woods and swamps.
Yep,
and so like I said. The slavery issue really wasn't for Mississippi County wasn't really a big deal. States' rights, yeah, probably. They don't much like people to tell them what to do, and that probably before that a lot of that came in.
I think that's kind of a Southeast Missouri thing.
Oh yeah, you know. I would agree with that. Still holds true today.
You can drive to our farm. You just basically drive until you see the first hill, and that'd be our farm. About due west of here, and we ain't too keen on the government telling us what to do either.
Yeah,
we ain't a fan. Let's talk about the Battle of Belmont, though, probably the crescendo of the Civil War here. Interesting for a number of reasons. I think maybe the first is it was the first really battle conflict for Ulysses S. Grant. What happened was some Confederates crossed over the river, and Grant found out about it and came down from Cairo, however you want to say it.
Cairo.
It's almost like you go to Advance, you would think you're in Advance, or if you go to Arab, you think you're in Arab, but I never spent too much time in Cairo, so I never picked up the language of it. But he came down and ambushed him, and the Confederates retreated back, and then they reorganized and they ran Grant off, and he ended up in Paducah. But the interesting part about it was, as far as the casualties, there were 607 Union casualties, 641 Confederates. More Union soldiers died. The Confederates took it as a huge win that they were able to run Grant off, and it was a morale booster, and they needed probably some morale boosting about that time. But interesting enough, in the memoirs of Stanton and even Lincoln himself, that was one of the first time a Union general had actually attacked a Confederate force. And it made Grant noticed in Lincoln's eyes, and he admired him, because at the time, if you remember General McClellan, they didn't really want to attack. And so that there was a Union general that would seize an opportunity and attack, it's the first time he really came on President Lincoln's radar. And I'd say he stayed there.
Well, if he followed that up with the attack over on the Cumberland and Tennessee River,
yep,
shortly thereafter, and was successful on both of those, and that, in Grant's mind, set him up for that he was on to Vicksburg after that.
And then on to
exactly. I mean,
Appomattox Courthouse and the White House. Way, right?
But the little thing at Belmont gave him some, he didn't get reprimanded.
Yep.
He got some accolades, and then he followed it up with the two forts over on the Cumberland and the Tennessee Rivers, took both of them, and that opened up the way to Nashville. And of course, Shiloh was later that, I don't know if it was the next year, the battle in mm-hmm. Western Tennessee, and then subsequently the Vicksburg. So, like I said, it was all a cascading, and
it started here in Mississippi County.
With Grant, that was his first time out of the box, right there.
What I've always read and tell was that really they were defeated. Initially, he retreated the same day and scolded, if you want to use that word, the troops or whatever, and they went back and finished the Confederates and moved them back over to Kentucky where they came from.
And then chased them, right?
And he, yeah. And so...
it's an interesting thing. You pull a $50 bill out of your wallet, and one of the main reasons why the guy looking back at you is on it is because of an event that happened here in Mississippi County. You know? Talk about the schools here. The first school came in, Indian Grove School in Matthews Prairie. Is that about how the folks tell it around here?
That's what I've read.
Well, tell me about the schools today. Now, I always figured Charleston and East Prairie had a rivalry, right? Like, I hate Twin Rivers over at Brosley. I went to Neelyville. We would have probably burnt their school then if we figured out how we could have done it. Tell me about the rivalry in Charleston and East Prairie.
It's you're talking about sports?
Yeah.
Sports-wise? Football probably is the closest match between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball... Charleston has a history that
yeah, they do. Now tell me about that history. That's something to be proud of.
It started in '75, was their first state championship, and even up to last year, they're contenders.
Yeah.
What is that? 30.
I have 40, to take my shoes off.
Is that 40? Is that 45 years?
It seems about right.
That's 45 years of.
We'll ask Connor to do that.
That's being a contender.
Absolutely. And it is an amazing tradition of excellence.
It really is.
And I think that's got to be something you could be proud of in the community.
Oh, they are.
You know, I'm from a much smaller town than Charleston, Stringtown. And sometimes you look around, you sometimes don't have that expectation of excellence or accomplishment. But when you can look at a basketball team from your hometown like that and what they accomplished, I think it sets your sights a little higher in life than you might otherwise have. It's really a thing to be very proud of, and I'm sure people here are.
Well, and I don't want to pull away from your question about the Charleston and Eastbury rivalry. We can come back to it. But a young man came to town, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago, Mike Minner.
Mm-hmm.
And Charleston was not a baseball town. They were not.
Well, it's hard to be everything, right?
Well, they were not.
Yeah.
They had a baseball team, but they were not a baseball town. Well, this town is a baseball town. The Fighting Squirrels were world champions last year.
Wow.
In the World Series of, I guess it's Senior Legion Ball.
That's great.
From Charleston.
Yeah.
And he pulls some of the top athletes in baseball from Perryville, from Caruthersville, probably from Poplar Bluff. He pulls them in because his program is so strong and so fundamental. And now, like I said, it's a winner.
That's awesome.
And
I'm a baseball fan myself.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
It really is.
And as far as in my generation and Jamie's too, really, if really not so much a county rivalry, because Sykeston and Charleston are the big, have the history. I mean, we
probably in 110 years now.
Football against it's the oldest mm-hmm. rivalry in the state. I think there's two schools in St. Louis.
There's the old Webster Groves, Kirkwood. That's a big one. There's that diner that you come in. There's two different doors. You got to sit on one side. The whole diner's cut off. Carl's or something. Schmidt can tell you.
Reading tales of back, 70 and 80 years ago, there was a special train that ran just for the football game. And then it got to be, they played a game on Thanksgiving Day. And the trains, when it was in, I think that was always in Charleston, and people from Sykeston would ride the trains, and that is an old tradition that's strong.
Now who gets the better of who there?
Well, I have to say Sykeston probably. Charleston.
Two out of three. They've won in the last 60 years. But every time we do win, it's large. Okay.
Those kind of things are so fun. I mean, at the time, you just in it. We hated Twin Rivers. There's a guy named Bob Marler was probably the better player on their team, and I did all right on our team. And I remember I think I hurt my arm trying to throw at his head one time. It was nobody on, two out, and thought I'd take my shot. And if I'd have seen him when I was in high school, I would not be able to stand him. Well, later in life, I got to know him. And he's just one of the greatest guys I ever met. And we lost him in a hunting accident a while back. But I got to tell you, if you'd have told me I'd have ever been out having a Bud Light with Bob Marler, I'd have told you you were crazy and a liar and wanted to fight you. But as we became older and had kids, I ended up just admiring him. I just loved the guy. And it's funny how those things. And we could joke about it. We cooled off by then.
Sure.
But those kind of things are neat that you get to look back on and you get to still kind of celebrate a little bit as time goes on.
Competition, part of life.
Let's talk about the first churches here. Give me the first church here. Now, I've had a couple. I've read a lot about the county this week, and I found that there was a Methodist Episcopal church that was very influential for a while. I don't know if it's the first one, though. Tell me about the church history here and the churches here now.
You'll have to go, Tom.
There was a Baptist church that was started around 1830, and it was organized and continued to meet until 1837, when it officially became, a church.
Mm-hmm.
The church was located, in Hattabrick building, and they moved to a new location on Main Street early 1900s, and then built a structure after a fire that's still standing today. Catholic Church was started by a group from St. John's?
The German, primarily the German Catholics coming mm-hmm. out of the hills,
yep,
out of the Benton area, New Hamburg,
mm-hmm.
were came down into the what we call Texas Bend,
mm-hmm.
which is the north part of the county that's not underwater today, and they had a church. I'm going to say probably the 1830s, and it was a little small log cabin, and that. They kind of progressed, but most of the action was in the Texas Bend area in the mid to latter part of the 1800s until they built about two blocks east of us here. They mm-hmm. built their first church and then subsequently built it after the turn of the century, like 1910, 1915.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
1900s, they built a church that's standing today.
It's a beautiful church, yeah.
Yeah.
Historic church. Well, I was doing a little research, and I found the first newspaper here. goes back to the Courier, George Whitcomb in 1857. Now tell me about the newspapers here in Mississippi County today.
There are two. One is called Mississippi County Times, and the other one is called
the East Prairie Eagle Courier, or Courier Eagle. And it's a combination of the Enterprise Courier and the East Prairie Eagle. When the Walhausens sold, they sold to the to the East Prairie group. The Mississippi County Times was started by an employee, John Sheffer, of the Enterprise Courier, and he started his own newspaper. Guess it's probably 25, 30 years old, probably.
He still on it?
He passed away many years ago, and his son, Richard, who's passed away, and his daughter, Mary Rita, who passed away about a month ago.
Is that right?
And the granddaughter is running it today.
Well, that's outstanding. That's a great story. Keep that paper local. You can always, you can walk into a town, pick up paper, and within about 2 minutes, you can tell whether the family that runs this paper lives within holler distance of this place. It's just different, you know. That's a good story. Tell me about the co-op. They're here in Semo, right? Who all serves Mississippi County?
Delta Growers.
Yep.
Co-op is the co-op for this area right here. They have a substation in Charleston, and I believe they have one in Nemadred, or in Matthews, and maybe one in Kewaunee. Don't hold me to that. I'm really not sure about that, but they started business in 76.
Let's talk a little bit about some famous folks. Let me start with, there was a Speaker of the House named Joseph Russell, 1888. And Senator John Scott, that was moved to St. Louis, was a very influential senator, was president of the Senate for a while, Mississippi County.
Went to school at St. Henry's.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that is a very impressive mark and something that Mississippi County did well for this state. He is certainly a revered Missourian when we look back on the history of the state and all the things that have happened. That's a neat tie, and I did not know that before I started reading about
I did know that was his education. I may have read it in his biography. He was a legislator in St. Louis.
Yes, correct? State senator in St. Louis for many, many years. Yes. Very highly influential.
Yes.
Let me talk. When we're talking about politics, we're talking Mississippi County. Everybody in the state has been waiting for us to ask you about Governor Hearns. Mississippi County, proud Mississippi County, did many, many things for the state. His name adorns buildings, colleges, highways. And he's from right here in Mississippi County. The most the state's going to know the history of him being governor and a secretary of state and a legislator. Tell me what folks here thought of Governor Hearns.
I think everybody was proud, you know, to have someone local to represent this part of the state. He certainly fought against the Democratic establishment because he was not the choice. And he was Secretary of State when Dalton was governor, I believe.
Because another Southeast Missouri.
I remember, but they weren't best friends.
Come from different tribes, right?
And I remember going on a field trip on a school bus to Jeff City, and Warren was Secretary of State. And he took us around the Capitol and went in the office and that. Gave a nice tour and everything, but you know he came from humble means. His mother, after the war, drove a potato chip truck around to grocery stores, and they had a grocery store in town earlier and everything. And he was a hard worker and cared about, you know, Southeast Missouri.
I've seen the museum they have here for him. Now is that open? When is that open? How do people go see it?
I don't know. Can't tell you. His wife, Betty, is still living.
In politics herself, right?
She was. Yep. You know,
She was state legislator for 8 years.
I believe she was the nominee for governor, right, for Democrats in 88 against Ashcroft?
Right, yes.
Now tell me about the politics here in Mississippi County. I've always thought of Mississippi County as one of the most Democratic counties going back even today in the Boot Heel. The trend has always been, I guess, you know, when you produce a governor and things, that has been very Democratic. Is that the history of it, am I right? And what is the politics like today?
I don't think you could put your finger on Mississippi County as Republican or Democrat. The voters will surprise you, and they really, truly will go with the candidate first as opposed to the label that's attached to them. I've studied it, and there'll be a Democrat that'll just resoundingly win the vote if it's the right candidate. And the same goes with the Republican.
What's the courthouse split these days?
Probably 75% to 80% Republican.
It's an interesting thing. Folks would look back and say, well, people were switched their ideology. They probably didn't. It's just like you said, in a lot of counties, if it's a Democrat county, the Republican person might be a little, but he'll run Democrat. And it didn't really make much difference in whether you're a quarter or not.
But you still can't put your finger on it. I won as a Republican. The person that I came after was Republican. But we had a county clerk that served for 36 years as a Democrat, and he was elected 9 times, okay, and had opponents, but he was elected 9 times, and this county will split. They'll split their votes.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's really hard to.
Like you mentioned a couple of words, you used a couple of times that independent streak.
It really is. Yeah. You can't pigeonhole and take for granted if you're carrying a label of a Republican that's an automatic 10%. That's just not happening.
Probably produces a better government that way. Well, tell me about the prison that's here. What's the history of that? How long has it been here, and what's it mean for the community?
It came in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Went online in 2000.
Yeah.
So it's been here close to 20 years. Provides some jobs that were very much needed. In my opinion, it has not had the impact that was projected with peripheral businesses and peripheral jobs outside the prison,
sure,
but that were supportive of the prison. That has not materialized.
There are two things I like to ask. The Dogwood Azalea Festival. Now, what a tremendous thing! It's beautiful. Now, tell me how that came to be, and tell me when it is, and what happens at it.
Let Tom take a run at it.
It was started back in around 1967. By the Molly French Garden Club. And my knowledge of it is that some of the members went to Natchez, Mississippi, and they saw azaleas, and they came back, and some of the members, and this would have been in the 50s, they decided we had the kind of soil to grow azaleas. And by the late 60s, this was started as just a small garden tour and grew through the years and become what it is today. And more people, you know, started planting azaleas.
Sure.
Started to plant dogwoods and, you know, have the right kind of soil for it.
Yep.
And people take pride in it.
Well, before I ask this last question, I want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Association of Counties, Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, Missouri Farm Bureau, for letting us come to places like Mississippi County and talk about the history of the state one county at a time. I want to ask you my favorite question to ask you, Mr. Graham with the Historical Society. If you had some friends come into town and you wanted to show them Mississippi County, what would you show them and what would you have know about the people here in Mississippi County?
Well, being associated with the Historical Society, and I've got the key to the door.
Might already use that later.
I think I would. That's where I would take them because it tells a good history of the county.
And what a beautiful mansion that you've taken. That, I mean, you could just.
Well, that was donated.
from the curb, it just looks beautiful.
I'm a pioneer family here, and so we're fortunate to have it. It represents all the communities in the county.
Commissioner Kahn, where would you, if you had some folks coming in, if you had Mr. IPOC come over from Webster County, what would you show him, and what would you have him know about the people here in Mississippi County?
Every time, it's the Mississippi River. It's where I take an outsider, somebody that's not from here. I take them to the Mississippi River. It's the biggest.
Yep.
In the United States, and it's the lifeblood of our, you know, our economy is ag based, and that river, as far as providing inputs, mm-hmm. is critical, and transporting our outputs is critical. So it's the Mississippi River every time, and of course, if you'll look at that map, it wraps yep. around pretty close to three sides of this county, and so yeah,
kind of like New Orleans a little bit how it wraps around.
Well,
like that.
It has a serious effect on us.
Sure, you know,
like we're under flood in the very north, on the very east, and then in the south today, have been for half a year.
Well, I want to thank you, Commissioner, for the hospitality. Thank you for having us. It's been a really interesting kind of look back at the history of Mississippi County. Appreciate you having us. Mr. Graham, thank you so much. And they have a beautiful historical society, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
I want to thank all of you for listening to Show Me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. We'll be with you next week from Benton County on Show Me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for road trips. We're for covering as much ground as possible on 2, 4, or 18 wheels. We're for drop tops, T-tops, classics, cruisers, pickup trucks, and dump trucks. We're for displaying Missouri plates like medals of pride. Have you ever hit a deer? Yep, we're for you too. We're for getting stuck behind a tractor on a two-lane highway. And if you're a Missouri driver, we have an auto policy for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.